Lori Houston's News for the Heart is dedicated to helping you give a voice to your own soul. Our hearts have the power to free us from pain and the struggles that keep us from awakening to our true essence. Join Lori now as we delve into our heart and soul to find the path that will open us to the possibilities and lead us to the life we love to live.
And good afternoon. This is News for the Heart. And today I have my awesome co-host, Tom Campbell, with me. If you want to know about Tom, he's all over the internet, got hundreds of videos on YouTube. Our YouTube videos tend to do quite well. Everybody seems to like our stuff because we take all of Tom's theories. Well, no, we don't take anywhere near all of Tom's theories, but we take some of Tom's theories and we make them practical so that we can sort of be in the world and letting go, lowering our entropy and moving into love and letting go of our fears. So this is why I love working with Tom, because it's the stuff that I kind of know. It'll be interesting because I've been invited to one of your workshops in England next year. So we'll see how that goes, but it will be more probably theory, right?
No.
Oh,
that's
okay.
That's going to be all experiential.
Lovely.
It's all going to be doing it and experiencing it.
All right. Well, there you go. So it'll be perfect. Because the one actually ends on my birthday. I haven't decided if I'm going to go to the first one or the second one, but the second one ends on my birthday. So it might be the second one.
Well, neat. I'd be glad to have you there.
Well, Keith and Donna are awesome. So they've sort of invited me, and it's kind of a, you know, a one-time thing that's like, I have to do this.
So. Well, we're going to talk about how to explore your own consciousness and how to explore the larger consciousness system.
Nice.
And it's mostly going to be about you doing it and me coaching.
Excellent. Maybe we'll do a show while I'm there. I don't know if I want to bring all my stuff, but I might bring some stuff. Who knows? So this month is Love Month. And so we always kind of do a love themed, not that almost all of our shows are about love, but we're talking romantic love, because, you know, around Christmas, it's family and friends. So this is the romantic love, as well as, you know, they always say that if you find the beloved within you, or if you have, you know, you can't. No one else is going to love you if you can't love yourself. And I know we talk about, you know, you feel that we do love ourselves, we just may not like ourselves. And I think that's where it's interesting, because we have all of these beliefs. We have all of these beliefs that we were brought up with. Our definition of love is generally very distorted, to be put it very badly, because typically we don't have very many great examples of love in our lives. We, you know, we had our parents' examples. We have friends. And of course, we all know that the divorce rate is skyrocketed. People don't seem to be committed, but they also don't want to work. They don't want to grow up. And I think that's really what the focus of our shows have been, especially lately, it's been about tough love. And I think, you know, when it comes to this time of year, when the focus kind of moves around romantic love, I think that's where we kind of need to go, because we don't have the commitment that we've had in the past. We feel now that it's much easier, and that there's so many things out there. Like, you can go online and you can meet up with, you know, hundreds of people if you want. There's always going to be, you know, the grass is always greener somewhere else. But I think that's when we come into our own fears of, you know, what is it within ourselves that is not available, is not open, is not ready or committed to making a true connection actually last. And I think a lot of people are in this situation. I know that there are some people like yourself who have been in a very long-term relationship that is very happy, but it's not the norm. So let's talk about that.
Okay. First, let's talk about that. You've brought up about five or six subjects. I'll try to remember most of them as we go. But the first one was this idea of loving yourself. And I would rather say that as liking yourself.
Right.
If you don't like yourself, if you think you are Not much. If you think you are, incompetent, not good looking, not a good personality, not really very lovable, if you have these negative attitudes about yourself, then you're not going to be able to have a good relationship with anybody else because you don't really, you don't really have yourself. In other words, you've put yourself off. You don't like yourself very much. So you don't have a whole lot to give because you don't really own yourself. Yourself has been kind of put over on the side as something that is not good enough, not competent enough, not whatever enough. And that feeling just comes from a sense of insecurity, from a sense of not being who you would like to be, who your image, of who you should be. So you don't match up to that image very well. But if you don't like yourself, then you can't really give much to anyone. You're kind of stuck there. Now, it's not really about loving yourself, but that's the way we say that. Rather than say you need to like yourself before you can like other people, we say you need to love yourself before you can love other people. It all means the same thing, and it's entirely correct. It just gets a little problematical with words when you use the form of, you have to love yourself first, because loving yourself, we know, is a condition in the book of psychiatric disorders. And
Oh, yeah,
we
there's
don't want, yeah, we don't
that.
want to go there, you see. So loving yourself is a thing that is dysfunctional. If you love yourself and in this way where, oh, I'm wonderful, everybody else isn't as good as I am because I am just so wonderful. If I could find somebody as wonderful as I was am, I'd be happy, but I can't find anybody that wonderful. Then that's called narcissism. And narcissism is a mental illness. So we don't want to confuse those two. Better to say that you need to like yourself before you can like others. You need to own yourself. You need to have something to give. If you think you're unworthy, what do you have to give? You don't want to give something that's unworthy. That would be like giving your children a lump of coal for Christmas. That just isn't nice, and it's not going to work, and it's going to fail anyway. So why try to give anybody anything if it's so inadequate? You see what I mean? If you
Absolutely.
don't, if you don't have this sense of adequacy, you don't really feel like you have anything to give. If you don't have anything to give, then you don't approach relationships with energy and with positiveness. And with expressing yourself, you approach them kind of backing into them. I know this won't work. And if it's good, you say, well, it's too good to last. It's too good to be true. See, everything's negative, negative, negative. And if you keep having negative feelings about what's going to happen, well, what's going to happen is it's not going to work out. It's going to be, negative because you're not really interesting company if you're self-absorbed in your own negativity, you see. So if you feel inadequate, if you feel insecure, that tends to make you act in ways that create the problem that you're afraid of. You're afraid that people won't like you. Well, if you feel very insecure, you act in a way that tends to make people not like you. You see, that's why they say that if you don't like yourself, then it's really hard to have a relationship with anybody else because you are wadded up in sort of a not really self-pity, I guess, but something like that. You're in a kind of a negative loop. And that is off-putting to other people. People who sit around going, oh, woe is me, I'm not much of anything, aren't the kind of people that, are fun to be with. They're the kind of people who always see the negative of everything, always know everything's going to fail before it even starts, can't get enthused about doing anything because it isn't going to work out very well anyway. Well, how do you have a relationship with somebody like that? You see, that's very difficult. So the first thing you have to do is get rid of that negativity about yourself. And though in the popular jargon, that's love yourself, we don't want you to be a narcissist. So we're just going to say, like yourself.
Okay, so now I understand why you. Now I understand why you switched those words up. Okay, so yeah, the narcissist. We've all met them, and I don't think they love each other themselves either. I think they just
no.
Right.
They're however, just more full of that negativity.
Yes.
And what they do to balance it, what they do to their strategy for dealing with their self-doubts and self-incriminations, their struggle to deal with that, is to act very forward. I'm wonderful. I'm great. I'm good. You see, that's a strategy of dealing with, I'm a little bit of nothing. I feel terrible.
Right.
It's the way some people deal with it.
Right.
Some people, when they feel bad about themselves, kind of become a shrinking violet, go over in a corner, sit down,
yes,
you know, and try to be real quiet and not be noticed. Other people who feel badly about themselves get a little pushy, a little louder, a little more in your face, mm-hmm, because they're covering up those feelings of inadequacy with brass, mm-hmm, with you know, senses of how wonderful they are. Try to convince yourself that you're not miserable by trying to act the role of I'm wonderful, I'm terrific, I'm more than competent, I'm better than everybody, you see? So the narcissist really ends up being just an extreme case of that sense of failure inside, that sense of not being good enough. Well, that is the first step. You have to not feel that way about yourself. That's a fear.
Absolutely.
A fear of not being adequate, a fear of not being lovable, not being likable, not really offering other people much, you see. That fear creates what you're afraid of. It actually makes you act in ways that then you say, oh, see, look, there's the facts. See, just people don't like me and relationships never last with me. They only go a little while and then they turn sour. And, you know, you have all this evidence to verify that you really aren't much of anything. Well, it's that fear that creates all of that. You are a lot. Everyone has amazing potential. And what cuts that, our ability to express that potential off, is our fear. So if we could get rid of that fear of inadequacy, that insecurity, then our light would start to shine. And we would find that we're a magnet for people. People want to be around us because we're positive. We always see the silver lining in that cloud rather than see a cloud before a cloud's even there. So that's the that's probably the most important fundamental step to take in this love idea, is that first you have to have a positive attitude. You have to not be negative about yourself. And where that's taking you is you have to be a little less self-focused, a little less self-centered, because when you feel bad about yourself, everything seems to be about you. You are at the center. And if somebody says something or somebody acts like they're not all that interested to be around you, then immediately that's about you. You have failed. That's because you're that way. Anything that happens in your life, it's about you. That's being self-focused, self-centered. It may not be about you. They may have had to leave early just because they had to leave early for some other reason. It has nothing to do with you.
Right.
But when you feel bad about yourself, you interpret that as it being about you. So then the next time you meet them, you're a little more withdrawn, a little sullen, and you're not so nice to be around, you see? So that's how you create your own reality. You make that reality in which you have problems with relationships. So we want to get over this self-focused, self-centeredness, where it's always about us.
Right.
When we can make it about somebody else, we actually can give. You see, when it's all about us, we're this dry sponge that hasn't been loved. Nobody's been nice to us forever. And we just soak up everything. It's about us. We need attention. We need people to to you know, validate us. And in this neediness, we don't realize that that's all ego. That's all about us. When you're needy like that, it's hard to give. When you give, it's about somebody else. Well, if you're a person that has very little to give and a whole lot of needs to take, that does really not make you, you know, the ball of the party. That doesn't make you somebody that people really like to get close to. So again, we create this problem that we have of not having good relationships, good love relationships, good connections, is because we're self-focused. And we're self-focused, of course, because we have that fear of being inadequacy. It all kind of builds together. So it's that ego. And as we deal with that fear and have more positive attitude about ourselves, we have more energy and more focus on other people. It's not always all about us. We can go out and give to other people. And in that giving to other people, we have positive, good relationships. Love is about what you can give, not about what you get. And we seem to measure our relationships in terms of what do we get from them. Does this relationship make me happy? Does this relationship fill my need? Does this relationship put me in an economic situation that I like? Does this situation, produce for me the things I want? Well, that's all about you. It's about, me. Am I getting what I need and I want? Well, you can see that's not going to lead to a very good relationship. It's all about you. So that's the problem that we have today. You mentioned that the divorce rate is high. The best of relationships tend to be with the two people are friends, not necessarily with the people in love and really just want to be with each other, but they have come to a resolution of their differences. They let those go. They accentuate the things that work, and at least they're friends. Well, that's about as good as it gets for most relationships, but that's just a shadow of what it can be. Right. What it can be when two people really love each other, then it's about them, not about getting your needs met. It's about them. How can you make them happy? What can you do for them? How can you take care of them? What do they need? And as long as you focus on their needs, guess what? They'll want to focus on your needs because their needs are just all being met wonderfully. And what's left for them to do? Now, if they're very self-centered, they may just sit back and say, life is good. Put another grape in my mouth. they may be like that if they're self-centered. But eventually, if you keep giving, even to that self-centeredness, that other person will begin to change. They will begin to feel like they need to earn that kind of love that they're getting, and they'll start to return that. Now, that's most people. There's always a psychotic someplace that won't work with, and then it's time to move on, right? And it's time to let that relationship go and go someplace else. But if your significant other isn't, in the psychotic category, then they will respond to that giving if you give to them enough. Now, if you give to them for 2 days and you don't get a response, well, they're still wondering what you're up to. They're still wondering what's going on. What is it that you want that you're buttering them up for? You see, it takes a while before trust builds. And they realize that you're just being you and that you just love them and you're trying to make them happy. And then they start to appreciate that. So it may take a while. It may take 6 months before the trust builds that they see that that is you. It's not just an act. It's not just something you want. It's you. That's the way you feel. So we want our relationships to be love-based, to be caring. In that case, it's about other. So if you think in terms of your relationship, okay, how's your relationship? And if the first thing you do is start a list of all the things you like and the things you don't like, you see, that's all about you. Your relationship is fundamentally self-focused and self-centered, and it can't be but so good that way because it's when it's all about you, it's not about them. And if it's about you, it's ego. It's not love until it's about them. So when somebody says, how your relationship, and you start writing down all the wonderful things about your partner, you see, well, now you know that you're in love and you're in a loving relationship. That's kind of a different thing. But we, our society now, our culture is such that it encourages self-centeredness. And it's been getting more that way over the last several decades. Self-centeredness is encouraged. If you're giving, if you care about another people, other people, well, you're somebody, you're a doormat. You're somebody that can be easily used. You're naive. You got to take care of number one, you know, because nobody else is going to take care of number one but you. So our whole culture is focused on this. The way to survive, the way to get by is to take care of number one. Our whole culture says you should be self-centered because if you're not, bad things will happen. The problem is that when you're self-centered, bad things will always happen. Nothing but bad things will happen. And the more they happen, the more self-centered you get because the more, oh, woe is me. You know, here's my list of things I don't like and the things I like, and the don't likes is a longer list than the likes. Now you're unhappy about your relationship. So then you go try it with somebody else. You get a divorce, you go out and try it with somebody else, and it turns out to be the same thing, just in a different format, with a different person, in a different house, in a different place, and it all turns out to be the same thing after a first couple of years where everybody's trying real hard, you know, to be nice, and they just start acting themselves, and guess what? You're still yourself. You haven't grown up any. You see? You haven't changed. All you've done is, as they say, you've switched chairs on the Titanic, you see? But the ship's still sinking. All you've done is switch chairs. You got up from one chair and moved to the other end of the ship, but that isn't going to make your bigger picture problem any better. It's still going to sink, and you're still going down with the ship, no matter which chair you sit in. But we think if we have that divorce and all, and we have somebody, then they're different, and this is going to be great. And it is, as long as you're focused on them. But as soon as you start tallying up that list of, well, here are the things I don't like. Now, how am I going to fix those? How am I going to make him or her be the way I want? Now you are self-centered, manipulating, and trying to control other people. Other people don't like being controlled, so they start backing off. And then they see their list, the downsides are getting a little longer too, and pretty soon they're right where they started 3 or 4 relationships ago, maybe 3 or 4 marriages ago. Nothing's really different. And now they get cynical. Oh, you know, it just doesn't work. I don't believe in love anymore. You know, good relationships are almost impossible. I've only known 2 people in my life that had good relationships, you know, that sort of thing. The other 500 people I know are all struggling. Oh, what's the use? And when you do that, then the probability of you growing up, getting rid of that fear, getting rid of that ego, and being able to actually give something to somebody else gets smaller and smaller. And then people kind of end up, you know, you see these people as they get older. I mean, how many of you know, people who are older, particularly little old ladies, and they kind of have that unhappy look on their face. They just don't look like they're having fun anymore. It's that sad look. Well, you see people like that in their 40s and 50s too. They just kind of go around with that sad look. Well, they've kind of decided that they've just got to settle for whatever they've got. And if they got a relationship that's at least friendly, where they're not fighting all the time, well, that's better than most. So let's just do that. And they keep score and, you know, struggle a little bit, but they get by. But that is not what love is about. That's not love. That's getting by, settling. You know, but you're not going to get to that love situation until you get rid of your own fear, you get rid of your own ego, your self-centeredness, and start to give rather than plan and worry and connive to get. So our focus is wrong, but our culture kind of drives us in that direction. Particularly females have a problem. You know, in our culture, the men and women both have instincts, just like any other animal. We're the human animal, and we're not any different than any other animal. We have instincts as well. And we have instincts associated with our being male and female. And our culture is particularly hard on women because it tells them that if they follow their instincts, they're wrong. They're not doing it. You know, they're not doing it right. They're wasting their time. They're wasting their life. So ladies are encouraged to become something other than they are. And if they don't do that, then there's something wrong with them. You see? So it's really hard being female in this culture of ours and being happy with yourself, feeling good about you. Because when you are crossways with your instincts, you don't feel good about you. You feel like there's something missing. There's some element, some part of your life that just isn't working, and you don't know how to get there. That's what it's like when you're crosswise with your instincts. So our culture is very hard. We have, you know, we have this idea. We picture women in the movies and in some of our books and things that we read, and they are perhaps very feminine and usually not doing too well, abused, you know, that sort of thing. They're having trouble. Then we have others that are tough, and these are usually in our culture now. These are the heroines. You know, they're tough. They beat everybody else. They're slick. They're smart. They're in charge of everything, you see. And that's the way it seems that you are a success. It doesn't work that way. That is completely crosswise with your instincts as a female. And as much as that's held up to women as the way to be, then women are going to feel inadequate. They're not the way they're supposed to be. Well, they're not. They're really not supposed to be that way, you see. So our culture sets women up to be inadequate, sets them up to be failures right from the beginning because of what our culture defines, you know, in terms of male and female, feminine and masculine. And the culture also sets up females to be wary of, untrusting of, a little, you know, standoffish with men, with males, because, you know, males are kind of the perpetrators. They're the enemy. They're the ones that are trying to keep you down. So we have that in our culture too. That's what we call the gender war, right? And that, of course, is also totally against our basic instincts. If women are just being women and men being men, the two fit together perfectly. The relationships meld very, very nicely. It's the perfect fit. It's a fit that's been generated in our instincts for 200,000 years to make us successful as a species. But we don't go there now, you see. So we have all these cultural issues that create problems in our relationships. That's why it seems so endemic. That's why you look out across all the couples you know, all the females, all the ladies you know, and you will probably find that almost all of them are insecure and feel inadequate. Because that's what our culture does to young women. Well, they fight it for a while up through, you know, 15, 16, 17. All those instincts are right out there in front. And they're, you know, they're playing the game the way they're supposed to. And by the time it's 20, 25, 28, 30, then you see those instincts are being pushed down. And it's, life isn't working. And it's not about them. And it's an unfortunate process. But it's like that. And like we said earlier, the females that we see that seem to be very secure and with it and got it and in charge are generally not very happy if you really know them personally. If you know, they look like they're in charge and having a good time and got it all together. But if you really were close enough to them that you could get the inside story, you'd see that they, even more than others, know that there's something missing. There's something that's not right. Something doesn't feel good. There's a part of living and loving and being female that just isn't being connected to. and they're disappointed, and they too learn to live with it, accept it, suck it up and go on. You know, suck it up, cupcake. You know, this is life. Tough it out. And it's unfortunate, but we today in the 21st century are probably more ignorant about gender and more ignorant about being male and being female than we have ever been in the history of the human race. We are very ignorant now about that. And we will just have to work our way out of that, you know, over the next decades, the next century or two. It's just the way it is. So that's why you look across society, and it's not just here, but it's all over Western culture, and it's pretty much all over Eastern culture too by now. It's this dissatisfaction in relationship. It's very hard to find couples who are truly in love, who truly, really, you know, kind of live to give to the other, if you will. That's a rare occurrence. It used not to be such a rare occurrence. But here we are. We live in interesting times, and we have to deal with it and make do with it. But better yet, let's get over it. Let's be ourselves. Let's get rid of the fears. Get rid of that ego. Let us start becoming love. And even, you know, it only takes one to love. You don't have to have two to love. Right. It's just one. One's all it takes to love. And you can just love and be happy doing it. And it doesn't really require that other person to be right there with you, loving just like you do, because we're not taking out our notebook and doing comparisons. Oh, I gave this much this week and he only gave that much. This isn't working. You see, that's just ego. That's back. What about me? Am I getting my fair share? You see, am I being taken advantage of? Well, all of that is fear. I'm afraid I'm getting taken advantage of. I have fear that I might. I have fear that I'm not getting my fair share. You see, that's all fear. So it only takes one to love. And for the most part, that's enough, because that other one will be encouraged to love too, if you can give. If you can give that long enough to earn their trust with it, then that will work. So anyhow, that's a really long story. I haven't given you a chance to say much, but it's endemic. It's our culture. Yes. It's the way it is. And most people feel trapped because they can't get out of it. They're looking for an outside solution. What outside needs to change so that I can do this? But there's no outside solution. That's why they end up so frustrated and eventually cynical. There is no outside solution. The only solution is inside. Juggling to another person isn't going to solve the problem. You know, switching mates, switching girlfriends and boyfriends isn't going to solve the problem. The problem is inside you. It's your own fear and your own self-focus, your own self-centeredness. That's the problem. So don't look outside for a solution. What you got is probably good enough if you just can get rid of your own fear. And if it isn't, well, then change it. You know, go to another relationship. You don't have to, you know, bang your head against the wall, but for so long. But in most cases, just one loving will help the other one start to become more loving themselves. So that's the solution. It's inside. And you don't have to change anybody else. Just change yourself. And then hang with that for a year, 2 years. Just give. And the very worst that can happen to you is that you'll grow up a lot. You'll get rid of a lot of fear, and you will be happier no matter what else is happening in the world.
All right. Well, we had a little bit of difficulty, but we're back. And yes, I'm sure you've noticed a little bit of slowing down and then speeding up. Something's going on with the with our Zoom format. However, so we've kind of discussed the whole other thing, and I think, you know, as you talked about, you know, how really it is about, you know, only one person has to love, and that would work. Mm-hmm. If we were at that place where we could truly be that selfless, loving, unconditionally loving and accepting. I mean, I think that is, you know, most people, because as you said, and as we've spoken of, are really more focused on what we want. So what we want from a relationship, what we need from the relationship.
Right.
And, you know, it's ironic because if we were to look at ourselves and say, what do we need from our relationship with ourselves? I mean, we don't even give ourselves what we need. So, right.
Mm-hmm. Right. But that's that ego.
Right.
See, that's that self-centered ego thing. And most people have a lot of ego. Most people make their choices in life based on their fear and their ego. That is the conditions in which we, you know, we exist.
Right.
But we can get over that.
We can.
We can go beyond that. We can grow away from that if we work on it.
And
but
I
if
guess
we don't work on it, we won't grow beyond it.
Right. And that's really the big piece, right? Because we, you know, we have to, at some point, we have to look at ourselves and our relationships and say, okay, so what's the common denominator here? The common denominator is us. And like you said, we keep looking outside for the answers. We keep hoping, you know, we can change them. We keep hoping, you know, something better is out there. He's just not the one. Or, you know, we keep placing all the blame on the other person instead of saying how. And it's not so much putting the blame on ourselves, because if you just start blaming yourself, you're not going to be motivated to change yourself.
Blame is not useful no matter where it's directed. It is dysfunctional in all cases.
Right.
It's not blaming yourself. Right. You have to accept that you are how you are.
Right.
All right. Here's how I am. I got a lot of ego. I'm self-centered. I live my life in terms of how I feel about it. You know, what I get rather than what I give. And there's a result of that. Okay. Look at the last 20 or 30 years of my life. And that's the result of that.
Right.
Now, what would I like to do about it? And if you say, well, I'm not going to do anything about it, then the next 20 years are going to look just like the last 20 years.
Right.
Nothing's going to change. You'll continue to be self-focused and your life will always be a struggle. And you'll probably not find much happiness. And if you do, it'll be little glimpses and pieces of it that won't last long. So if you'd really like to be in a situation where you are happy all the time, consistently, your life is joyful, then you need to change something, right? You have to be insane to say, well, I'm going to keep doing what I'm doing and I'm going to expect things to change. You know, that's not going to happen. It's not the outside world that needs to change.
Right.
It's you. No, blaming yourself is worse than useless.
Yes.
That's just more of the, I don't like myself.
Right.
That just takes you further away from getting rid of ego. That's just piling another level of ego on top of it. So no, blame isn't helpful at all. You need to accept this is who I am. Now, what can I do to change me?
Right.
How do I need to be? Whenever I get into the, it's about me and make sure I get mine and I get as much as I deserve and at least as much as I give, I need to get back because otherwise I'm being taken advantage of. You see, all of that is me, 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 me. When you find yourself thinking that way, you need to stop and say, whoa, that's not the road I want to go down and go a different way. Now that will be almost impossible at first. Because every 10 seconds, you're going to be saying, whoa, because every 10 seconds, you probably act on your ego. So it'll be hard at first. But the more you work on it, as long as you keep that intent that you're working on it and that you're trying to be different, not act different, but be different, it will work. And it'll be slow at first. But if you really do this, in a few months, you'll start seeing a difference. And so will everybody else around you. You'll start seeing a big difference and your relationships will get better. And everything in that outside world that looked kind of dull and gray and, you know, dysfunctional will start to get better.
Yeah.
It's like a little story I read by a lady who said she was making kind of a tongue-in-cheek joke, but she was talking about when she began taking Prozac. She said before she took Prozac, everybody in her life was nasty. Everybody had, was out to, make her life harder. And it was so awful. And she felt so bad and depressed and so on. And now she's been taking Prozac for a couple of months. And some miracle happened because now everybody else is acting nicer. It changed. Her taking Prozac changed all these people and all the situations in her life, you see. And it was sort of a joke. Of course, she changed. And when she changed, her whole life got better. And it does affect everybody else. When you grow up, when you become love, everybody else is going to be more loving towards you. You get kind of what you sow. You sow love, you get love. You sow self-centered, what about me? You get so self, you get self-centered, what about me back from the people in your relationship? They're only concerned about them, not you. Well, that's not a good place to, to have a relationship. Yeah, I think I've said this before. We in our culture hardly ever really fall in love. What we do is fall in need. We find somebody that meets our needs and we pretend or we believe that that's love. And if we meet their needs at the same time, well, now you're on seventh heaven and that's great because your needs are being met. But if you're both still self-centered, it's not going to last a long time because in the beginning, you're trying to please. After a while, you're just being yourself. Is keeping your scorecard on what you get and what you have to give and making sure you don't give too much or get too little. You see? So what you are inside will eventually come out and dominate the relationship. So you got to change yourself. I guess it's a simple thing to say, but a harder thing to do. But my point here is that if you work on it, if you really try, you will succeed because your intent modifies future probability. And just by having the intent and trying, you will eventually change yourself. You'll succeed. So I give you 100% probability of success if you really work at it sincerely and not just trying to behave better, but trying to be better. If you work at that, you will succeed and your life will get a lot happier. And all the people in your life will get a lot happier too and be a lot nicer. Everything will work better. So why would somebody not want to try to do that?
It's a lot of work, Tom. We
Yeah.
like to be victims. We want to be able to
Yes, well,
blame other people.
yeah, that's the
Much
other thing we
easier.
tell our women in our culture. You see, you're insecure, you're inadequate because we kind of stack the deck to make you ladies feel that way. And then we say, oh, but it's not your fault. You're a victim. Now it's so easy for somebody who feels inadequate and insecure to use that as the way out. Oh, it's not me. I'm fine. It's them. I'm a victim. You see, now they have justified themselves as being okay. It's just another strategy for dealing with feeling negative towards yourself. You can deal with it, like I say, lots of ways. One is to be a shrinking violet and go sit in the corner and suck your thumb, instead of participating. Another way is to get brassy and pushy and try to dominate. And another way is to feel that you're a victim. It's not really you. It's just this system, this patriarchy. You see, that's the problem. Well, that's just another way out of dealing with this problem of being insecure and feeling inadequate. So ladies have a particularly tough time in this thing because they have an uphill battle against their culture. And we tend to buy into our culture. Our culture, we take as truth. It's just the way it is. And it's very difficult to see it any other way. So it's a tough time for both genders. Men are also in a bad state today because most of them are crosswise with their instincts as well, because the society does not, they're the bad guys, and the society does not allow them to be the way they feel that they should be. relationships don't work. It's a mess. The gender issue is just a mess right now.
It really is.
And we as individuals are going to have to fix it, crawl up out of the mess we've made and get over it and go on. And we will. We will someday do that. But it's not going to be quick. Hopefully, you know, maybe our granddaughters and grandsons will live in a nicer place, but not likely. It's probably going to take longer than that. But we have gotten very distorted viewpoints of life and of gender in particular. And that's why most people are unhappy in their relationship.
Yeah. Yeah. Although I really do like the Prozac idea.
Well, you know, it works a couple of ways. People take Prozac because they have a deficiency of serotonin.
Ah, right.
You see?
Yeah.
So it's a brain chemical problem. And they take the Prozac and all the other things that are like Prozac, all of those drugs that are in that same group. They take them because their brain doesn't make enough neurotransmitters. They need more serotonin. Well, when you are unhappy, when you are crosswise with your instincts, when you are self-centered, what do? You create a physiological condition where you don't make enough neurotransmitters and you're low on serotonin. In other words, you create that brain chemistry. The consciousness leads, the body follows. When you get in a negative state, when you get in a kind of a permanent blues sort of existence, your body reflects that. Right. And the way it reflects that is to change your brain chemistry to suit that mood, that depression. So now your brain chemistry, oh, sure enough, there you go, low serotonin, not enough transmitters. You see? Well, it's not that you're just born with a defective brain. Poor you.
Yeah.
Mostly it's you create that physical problem as a symptom of your spiritual problem, of your emotional problem, of the problem of how you see yourself and not being the being of love that you were kind of meant to be. So you're in this dysfunctional thing and your body becomes dysfunctional. And all of that builds stress. The more stress we have, our body will then change for other ailments. Pretty soon, you know, we have digestion problems and we have, you know, backaches and we have all this other stuff. Those are just bodily symptoms that are expressing our unhappiness, right, our dissatisfaction with ourselves. It's expressing our misery, you know, our fact that we think that, you know, life is awful. When you feel that way, your body supports that and becomes that way. So it's not just, you know, that you can make your serotonin low, but you can make your back ache, you can make your headache, you know, you can give yourself all kinds of problems if you don't get out of the self-referential ego and fear mode. That is a very dysfunctional mode, and it causes not only bad relationships, it causes bad physical problems as well.
Right.
And
right.
We look at, you know, like you said before, look at all the people you know who are feeling inadequate and insecure. Well, almost everybody. Look at all the people you know who are having aches and pains and problems and kind of chronic stuff that goes on. Okay, you fall and hit your arm on a rock and you break your arm. Well, that's very clear. And it's easy to fix. You just, you know, set the arm and it grows back. But it's this chronic stuff that doesn't go away. It's the in and out of depression. It's the feeling bad. It's the backache. It's the headache. It's the indigestion. It's the gas, you know. It's all the stuff that just doesn't work right. That's mostly an expression of our dissatisfaction with ourselves.
Right.
You create that. It's, you know, when we're negative, it affects the body. And just the opposite, when we're positive, it affects the body. Mm-hmm. Things start working better. You don't age as much. Your back stops aching. You know, you're healthy. You are fit. All that is much easier to do when you have a positive attitude. Now you can force it either way. You can have a negative attitude and go to the gym every day.
Yes.
And all right, you might be fit anyway, but you're just pushing, you know, you're pushing that part of your body. You're still liable to end up with backaches, even with all that trim muscle and, you know, and not much fat, whatever. You're still going to have backaches and headaches and all the rest of it.
Or heart attacks or, you know.
Or heart attacks or whatever. Yeah. It's right. Just, it's all that stuff we do to ourselves.
Yeah.
That's how we express ourselves physically. Remember, we're consciousness. We're the leader of this thing here, you know, and our avatar is going to modify itself to suit the consciousness. So that's another issue. So it's in my way of thinking, it's I can't really understand somebody not wanting to work on their fear and, you know, their ego to get rid of it. Because there isn't anything to be derived from that other than joy and pleasure and, you know, good relationships and not having a backache. And that's where that goes. Right. So it's that ought to be incentive to at least give it a try. But it is hard because that fear is a hard thing to beat. You know, we'll say, okay, I'm going to be more giving. I'm going to do this. And then the very first thought that gets in your mind is, well, are they just taking advantage of me? Yes. Am I just giving this stuff and somebody, you know, and I'm going to get stuck in the end. Am I going to be somebody's doormat? And all of that fear just kind of whelms right back up. And you just have to put it down and say, right. And if that happens, that happens. That's okay.
Because we've all had examples. We've all seen our mother be a doormat or, you know, we've all seen it. We've all seen the people that are being taken advantage of. So, I mean, it's so in the collective unconscious. Like we are so usually unaware of the fact that we're trying to meet these fear needs. Like we don't even realize a lot of the times that, you know, these beliefs that we hold or these thoughts that we're thinking, you know, it's really about our ego and our negative fear and our wanting to, mm-hmm. you know, to be met, have our needs met. Like it's the needs, I think the needs that are within us that we don't meet ourselves. Like it's just this cycle of, I don't know, cycle of pain that we get.
Cycle of dysfunction. Yes. That's what it is.
Yeah.
And you know, when you get rid of that ego, you know, you talked about, you saw your mother as a doormat. Well, you probably see your father as a doormat at work, where probably. The other people at work steal his ideas and he
exactly.
doesn't get promoted or this or that, or, you know, your kid goes to school and gets picked on and they're a doormat
bullied.
At school,
yes.
you know, dealing with things like that. Everybody's a doormat now again. It's everybody gets used and pushed
yeah.
around. It's just the way it is, because there's a lot of people out there who are all miserable, just like we are.
Right.
There's a lot of people out there. It's all about them. What can they get? Who can they take advantage of? Sure, there's people like that.
Can't
but you
kick
can't
your
live
boss.
Your life in fear of that, you see?
Yeah.
So, okay, your boss doesn't like you or you're somebody's doormat.
Right.
But you can be somebody's doormat and just smile and walk right on through it. It just
right.
doesn't matter because you don't have this big ego that gets wrapped
right.
around it. So yeah, okay, you get abused over here. Somebody picks your pocket over there and you just learn to, you know, put the stuff in your pocket, you know, button your pocket, you know, put something in a zipper and put it around you. You learn if you're going to go there and they're going to abuse you. Don't go there. Stop going there. If you get abused at work, look for another job. You see, you just deal with it, but deal with it in a positive way. You can still smile your way right through it and find a solution for it. The solution is to avoid those places where, you know, you're running that kind of trouble. Walk around them, avoid them, don't connect to them. It's when we connect to them that it gets to us, that it becomes a problem. When your boss is rude to you or your wife or husband is rude to you and whatever, and we internalize all that. How could they say that to me?
Right.
You see? And then we get upset. We attach to it.
Right.
If you didn't attach to it, then It wouldn't be you at all. It'd just be them. Oh, they're having a bad day. They're having a moment, or yeah, they're still suffering in that rude space. Oh, well, sorry for them. I have compassion for them, but you see, it doesn't get you down. It
Right.
doesn't make you upset because you don't have that ego and fear wrapped around it anymore. So those people who are rude or do whatever they do, they're just like that. You have compassion for them. You try to help them feel better, and you don't get sucked into it by your ego. And when you do that, you really help that person. You help that person a lot. But if you get your ego sucked into it, now there's this ego war going on, right? She said this and he said that, and the fight starts with the ego back and forth. That's dysfunctional. So it doesn't matter that other people aren't loved, that other people are going to be maybe trying to take advantage of you. So what? That's other people. You can deal with that. You can let other people be however they are and still have a very nice life. It's possible. You can do that. You don't have to say, well, I can only grow up if everybody else does, because
Right.
then I won't get taken advantage of. Well, that's just your fear. You're not growing up. You're not letting go of that fear. You can do fine. Matter of fact, as you let go of your self-centeredness, you become more powerful. You have a lot more personal power than you have when you're full of ego. You're just the opposite of a doormat. People will look up to you. People will ask you for advice. People will see you as somebody they'd like to emulate. You become a much more powerful person in as much as how you affect other people. If you're self-centered, the only way you affect other people is to annoy them. And the only way they affect you is to annoy you. You see, whereas once you grow up, you can affect them in a positive way. You become a more powerful person, not a doormat person. It's only, you only fear the doormat, you know, when you're full of fear. You're not full of fear, the doormat's irrelevant. You don't care about that. Somebody gets angry, it's their problem. It doesn't give you a downer. That other person spouting and fuming and everything, but not your problem, it's their problem. It doesn't make you unhappy. You don't have to feed into it. You can go over and kiss them on the cheek, pat them on the back, and say, I hope you feel better, and go do something else, somewhere else, you see, which just throws them for a loop because they're expecting you to fight back. And now you didn't fight back. You went over and gave them a kiss. So you pulled all the air out of their sails. They were just, you know, kind of working up for a war, and nothing happened. There was nobody to fight. That helps them grow up. You see, so it just works for everybody as you grow up. So don't worry about other people taking advantage of you. That's fear talking. Give, care about others. Live your life, be happy, and everything will work out.
All right. Well, you know, it's true. And this is why I love having you on the show, because we always talk about something else that will help people move towards love. And with Love Month, I think that's, you know, the focus. I know we like to focus on ourselves, and I love how you made the difference of, you know, let's not be narcissistic, let's be giving. And I think that's the way you have to shift your focus, is to see ourselves as, you know, being loving and accepting and giving. And then I think everything will be different, and Love Month will be perfect. So I know you're away for a couple months, so
So we're going to miss a couple
we're gonna miss a couple.
of our talks, but
We'll be back in April.
yeah, we'll be back in April.
All right. You've been listening to News for the Heart. We're beginning The Heart of What Matters with Tom Campbell. And I don't know what we'll call this one. Tough love with love. Growing up with love. Anyway, thank you,
That's a
Tom.
good one.
Yeah, growing up with love.
Growing up with love. That's a good one. I like that.
All right. Thanks, Tom.
Thank you, Lori.
Have a question for Lori and want to be on the next News from the Heart show? Drop us a line via instant feedback at bmajor.org. News from the Heart is brought to you by Intuitive Soul and is produced by Major Radio for Clear Channels, iHeartRadio, and bmajor.org.